now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is John Bertoli. John is an experiencer. He's had ET experiences. He's got his own show, his own podcast. He's got a lot to share with us. So without any further ado, John Bertoli, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Well, thanks for having me, James. I appreciate it.
Well, the pleasure is all ours. I'm looking forward to this chat because I get to talk to another experiencer, another person who's undergone a lot of phenomena. Tell us a bit about yourself and, you know, how your journey started in this incarnation.
Well, you know, I was actually having a conversation with Phil Gruber a couple of weeks ago, and it was pretty interesting about how do we actually start on the path we're on. And Phil's been doing it for 30 plus years. When I look back, I was starting to think of things that were happening to me as a child. And it was always, I was always told it was just my imagination. And one of the memories that popped out right away when I was talking to Phil was I was coming home on the school bus one day. And I remember being in kindergarten, and it was only a half day. So you came home at like 11 a.m. And driving on the school bus, I remember looking out the window and seeing a triangular metallic craft traveling along at about the same pace as the bus. And I remember looking up around the bus and seeing it. And I'm like, I'm the only one seeing this. And I was very introverted as a child and very shy. But I remember very distinctly that there was a presence, and it didn't mean anything to me. I'd always felt like a presence throughout my life. Experiences when I was very, very sick, I used to get really bad upper respiratory infections. And I was laying in bed one day, and I remember feeling a very strong sense of someone there. And I looked at the out my bedroom door, and standing in the hallway was this woman, had this kind of a blue shawl type thing on there, very nurturing, very loving. And I could always hear different types of spoken word, but I couldn't understand it. And I would tell my mother that, hey, there was this lady here, and it's just your imagination. So what an imagination. Little Johnny had a great imagination, you know. But I was seeing all types of things like that. And as I got older, I started seeing and experiencing more and more intense, you know, contact, for lack of a better term. But I was opening my awareness to where I was actually understanding some of what I was experiencing. And as I got into my 20s, I would see a lot of shadow beings. I could read somebody's intent very, very easily. And such as, you know, when somebody's a high sensitive, they feel other people's emotions and other people's traumas. And for a long time, I didn't realize that I was holding other people's traumas. And it's very difficult to go through life like that. And so I tried to run away from any of the spiritualism or anything paranormal. I tried to get away from it when I was in my mid to late 20s. Anything I did just kind of made it intensify and made it worse. And I made a conscious decision. It really didn't matter what other people were saying to me. You know, listen, you're crazy. You're making a story up. You're on drugs. You're hallucinating. You're schizophrenic, whatever the laundry list of names I was being called and made fun of. And I was just like, okay, I'm just not going to say anything to anybody about what I'm seeing. Cause clearly I came to this revolution that a lot of people weren't seeing what I was seeing and feeling and knowing and hearing and all these crazy things that, you know, at one point I really did think I was completely losing my mind. But as the years went on, I've always had this fascination and this driving need to understand what are these experiences? What was that craft I just saw there? I know it's not supposed to exist. I watched every conceivable documentary on UFOs, Bigfoot, all that type of thing. And now where I am now, I'm in my mid-50s, I've had some pretty amazing experiences that I initiated through intent and being, you know, may it be you know, up in the state of Washington or Massachusetts, where I'm originally from, or in Colorado, and I've done a little bit of traveling around the country, it really doesn't matter. Are there hot spots? Yeah, there certainly are, but it really doesn't matter where you are. It's your awareness and how much you're willing to, you know, surrender to that awareness and allow that. I mean, everybody is psychic to a certain degree. I'm sure that a lot of people can attest to thinking about someone and all of a sudden they call you on the phone or you drive by them in your car. Well, that's telepathy. It may be a very basic form of it or expression of it, but nonetheless, that is telepathy. Or people that say, I just have this gut feeling I shouldn't have done that. And they go through a terrible experience and they realize, well, that's why I had that gut feeling. You know, well, what is intuition? Again, it's our higher senses that are popping into our awareness. And so having really basically embraced a lot of this and really understanding that, you know, when we go into dream time, those are other realities of consciousness. They're not, you know, physical like this one here. They have completely different rules. When you go out of body in a meditation, you can bring yourself to a higher state of awareness and operate in other realms where, again, they're not the same rules as apply here in this lifetime or this reality. However, they're every bit as real because consciousness is our things. Thoughts are things. Therefore, they exist. And so understanding that, like, when you see things, I'm going to watch a documentary about the occult when I was growing up. And, okay, what is the occult? Well, definition means hidden. Okay, so let's look into what's hidden. How is it hidden? And I want to feel this. Oh, okay. And I'd hear somebody talking about an experience and go, yeah, that happens fairly often to me, or I can relate to that, or I know what that feels like. And telepathy, for instance, that's, I think that as we work on these different types of abilities that I believe everyone has, and if you're open to it and you really use your heart, you don't allow your ego mind to control it. If you can quiet that ego mind, which can be quite a trick, and really think with your heart space and the true essence of your being, you can tap into all kinds of different things. There are no limitations. So as I really progressed into this, I started realizing that, you know, the UFO, the extraterrestrial presence, which is, you know, I need no convincing whatsoever that not only is it real, it's profound. It has a vast effects on humanity and has for thousands upon thousands of years and that type of thing. But these other abilities, this is all one subject. This whole level of consciousness is all connected. They're you know, you have ghosts, UFOs and extraterrestrials and all these other types of things. Kind of reminds me of the show I used to watch in the 70s with Leonard Nimoy, In Search Of. And they would come on, it was all these different shows, but it was ultimately, if you look at it with a much larger perspective and you sit back and observe a little more, you realize it's all the same subject. Okay, so why is it that I can feel somebody staring at me? Well, that proximity sense, everybody has it. Do you nourish that? Do you bring yourself to where it's a honed skill and understand that that's one of the tools in your toolbox? So we have all these abilities, you know, communication. My fiance, when we started seeing each other, she didn't speak very good English. She's from Vietnam and so a lot of our communication was on a telepathic level. And I mean, we have an amazing relationship and it's built off of those pure communications that are not confused by, you know, the ego mind. And as I've gotten to understand these certain levels of awareness, it's kind of like leveling up a little bit. As you get to a certain level of awareness, there are a series of kind of perks that come along with that. And like, let's see how many years now, it's been a few years, but all of a sudden I started speaking light language in the midst of a meditation. And what is light language? Light language is a expression of energy from the soul. It goes back and taps into all the different universal lineages that we have, not just our physical lineage on here on Earth, but where has our soul been with, you know, all the great star nations, the Sirians, the Andromedans, the Pleiadians. And there are all these hybrid dialects. There are thousands and thousands of these dialects, and they contain certain packets of condensed information that are not meant for your ego mind or your intellect, but bypass that and going down into the soul. And so that was a huge awakening for me, to suddenly start speaking these languages and not understand, but the energy and the visions that I was receiving at that period of time, they were off the charts. It took me a long time to process what that was. But again, I went inward as much as possible. And that's where the answers to everything lie, is us going inward. If somebody is really looking for the answers of, you know, of the great mysteries, who am I, why am I here, where did I come from, then the answers are here. If you're looking outward, you're looking in the wrong direction, you're not going to find them. But if we do quiet all this distraction and we can bring ourselves and center ourselves, more of us become available to us. We can really start tapping into these much higher senses. And there are, like I said, there are abilities that come along with all of that. Now, having said that, each of us has a very unique set of skill sets, especially those of us that are awake, that are consciously aware that we're here for a job and a purpose in this particular temporary body, but we're coming here to do something. And it's profound. It's something that is, it's a calling that is almost hard to describe, but if you heard it, you won't need me to describe it. You know, and that's about where I am right now. I've tried to settle all these different experiences. I've seen hundreds of craft throughout my life. Some were ET, some were not. Some were, you know, made right here and, oh, planet Earth, you know, anti-gravity craft. I've seen a lot of different types of beings. I've a lot of peripheral motion around me. When I see a lot of that, I can see energy patterns. I can see beings moving in their orb forms and things like that. And that type of thing, when you start to understand it and you can communicate with these beings, you're communicating not only with beings that are extremely evolved, but you're communicating with higher aspects of yourself as well. Because once you get up to that higher consciousness, that's collective consciousness, that's unity consciousness, where the knowing of all is available to all. And by tapping into those little, you know, pearls that are handed to us, we can really bring our awareness up to that higher level. And by sharing, taking these little tidbits that are handed to us, by sharing them with others, which is the purpose of me doing an interview like this in the first place, James, is to help others. Hopefully, if we can help one person who's struggling with the expansion and all this new information that's coming in on them and trying to understand it, if we can help that one person, we've done our jobs for today, you know?
When you were growing up, were there certain dreams and or mystical experiences that stick out that were part of this formative process? You were familiar already at an early age that, excuse me, you had an expanded awareness and there was more to reality than the tangible, what you see around you. Because in my experience, I've had a lot of dreams. It was almost like stepping into another world, you know, at night. What was it like for you growing up and, you know, the milestones and guideposts along the way that brought you to this point?
I've had four recurring dreams that I have to this day. And again, it's very much being in a different type of, you are in another world. And it's really interesting to go to those same places over and over like that. And you become familiar with them and that level of awareness. I've also I've done some videos on my YouTube channel, and I'll give the name of that after, about some of the earlier encounters with the Sasquatch people that I've had. When I was very young, my mother used to bring my two older sisters and I up on this place called the Taconic Trail, which was a game preserve or wildlife preserve that basically straddled the New York, Massachusetts, the far west border of Massachusetts. And there was always a presence up there. It's a really, there's a vortex, you know, an energy vortex. It's highly charged up there. There's been a lot of really bizarre things happening. I remember my father, when I was quite young, was a colonel in the Civil Air Patrol. And that's a part of like a subsidiary of the U.S. Air Force. And they search for downed planes and things like that. And they were searching and they saw a white light go across the top of this particular ridge and then straight up gone in an instant. And I remember hearing that. And then I would, like, you know, a few months later, I'm up in that exact area picking blueberries with my mother and my two sisters. And I feel like, wow, something's looking over my shoulder, you know? I would always get this feeling I'm being watched. Not to the paranoia level, but sometimes freaking me out, you know, through the years. Yeah, I did get freaked out from that. And right after that season, that winter, I know that I was still in single digits. I was out in the driveway playing in a big snowbank, because we used to have a lot of snow when I was a kid. And I remember all of a sudden feeling that I was being watched from down below. And I'll never forget that. And I actually still, whenever I think of that, the hair on my arm stands right up every time I think of that experience. And through meditation, I found out that it was a Sasquatch. It was a male. It was a medium-aged male, which is probably quite old as far as they live a very long time. And there was, I don't know why it had interest in me, but it scared me, and I went inside. And then from that point on, I wanted to know everything about Bigfoot. Now, how is it that a child who never even heard of Bigfoot prior to that know what's looking, you know, what the creature that's standing, you know, an eighth of a mile down behind me, how did I know what that creature looked like? I couldn't see it with my physical eyes, but my telepathy or my awareness, I could see that very, very clearly. You know, that this, and yes, it scared me, but I don't think it was, you know, I don't think it had bad intent. The being didn't have bad intent. Now, as the years started going on, I would always, that old house that we lived in it's on the historical register. Parts are over 250 years old. So it's got a lot of memory that's kind of imprinted in there. But I remember always hearing a woman's voice, and I could never understand what she was saying. And I thought it was my mother, because it was always this nurturing, beautiful, nurturing energy. And I looked out the window, and my mother was down in the garden, you know, weeding. And I had been playing with my toys on the living room floor, and there was that divine feminine energy. And what I found out later is these languages that were being spoken to me were indeed light language. They were extraterrestrial languages. You know, I could actually speak a little bit of it now, but my primary dialect, I have several, but my primary dialect is an ancient Pleiadian dialect. How did I understand this? There were two ways that I figured out exactly what I was speaking. One of them was Salretta Antario helped me identify that. And Salretta was one of the first people that I exchanged any language with, any dialect with, and we did a video and things like that. But Soul Red has been great. And then through meditation, I was told, okay, it's what it is. It's a very, very ancient form of Pleiadian, okay, which means that those energies that are encapsulated in those dialects, those are what I brought for this incarnation. Have I been Pleiadian? Yes. Have I been Syrian? Yes. Have I been, you know, we're all carrying energies from all over the place. We're a bunch of universal mutts, really. But these energies, when I started really speaking these energies, now I had a lot, I used to get a lot of downloads and a lot of telepathy, and my guides would speak to me, and I can talk about that in a minute. But it was always these dialects, and I'll speak a little ancient Pleiadian right now. And these dialects are the types of things that, well, people will say, well, what did you say? But what is really important to understand here is this is not a language that is meant to be a word-for-word translation and diluted down. This is highly compressed spiritual energy, spiritual remembrance, and these files are thick. So you may hear something in a recording, listen to it a year later, and hear something completely different, and each time get something out of it over and over and over. And these are the keys or these codes that are hidden within the speech that we've kind of made a an agreement prior to incarnating that we'd share these codes to help each other wake back up again. So I'm going to set my intent to just share awakening codes, share remembrance, and I always say the same thing, try and feel rather than listen. Niti ro jobukia mama atoko ke memekin la haet tora bebeshe zimi ro la tuta bebe kya kyan ne heme mehin lo khwaye boto kopo kin chanta ne me chichikin ji jwalare tota to mama men ai kwe ala tuto tiene ne ni sapuata do komo mabeti chuchu rafe dorshamane.
Thank you for sharing that. I definitely felt an energetic expression.
Describe that. What were you feeling, James?
Well, it was an energy field. It was not unpleasant. It was actually, you know, there was a familiarity to it. It's a very much a similar vibe now that you mention it with Soretta, because I've had her on the show. I know the amount of interference I had trying to get her on. I had to get her on 3 or 4 times just to get one show in, right? I mean, there was a power outage. There was a thunderstorm. I mean, it just went on and on. And thankfully, she was so patient with me. But it's a similar feeling. So the idea, if I understand it, John, is to reawaken, rekindle, call it dormant, call it innate, abilities to enhance one's awareness, perception. Because like you said, we brought this with us. We just have to find a way to tap into it. And you made a very good point earlier about what I call Mr. Spock. And it's funny because you brought up Leonard Nimoy in Search of. There were times when I was younger, but before I did a lot of inner work, a lot of shadow work, I would start to, just in a quiet moment, call it daydreaming or whatever, I would just start to get some wild mystical vision. Like we just pointed out, it's what they call in communications a burst transmission. It's like a highly compressed, multi-tiered thought form, which is, you know, language fails us. It's the best way I could describe it. But there was so much compressed into it. There was imagery. There was feelings. There was an aspect of having lived through whatever I was feeling and just flashing through my mind. But when I would try to, and it took me a long time to not do this, when I tried to go, what is that? It's just lost, gone completely, right? Well, I had to learn. It took me a while to just let it wash over me. And if I didn't understand it at the time, that was okay. Maybe it was a drip, drip, drip thing, and down the track a little bit, I would start to understand more. But I found that when Mr. Spock would try to elbow his way in the midst of these transmissions or downloads, gone, just elbowed right out.
Yeah, I think you're right on the mark with that too. Some of it does get processed through our conscious thought, but it's not for that. And that's one thing that I really had a hard time. I have a very technically structured mind, very analytical, I'm quite retentive, you know, when it comes down to detail and things like that. And it was very difficult for me to embrace that part of me really has very little to do with these languages that are being expressed and their purposes. Like going back to Salretta, when we did our first show together, we were exchanging speech, and something really incredible happens when people exchange their dialect. There was this vision of an infinity symbol that was looping around her. It crossed in between us, and that convergence point right in between us, there was this massive blast of light, and then visions were coming out of this. And the visions, we both had the same visions of these step-type pyramids similar to South America, tribal dress. And what's really interesting, you know, I'm you know, very, very earth-oriented, not damaging the planet, in harmony, that whole, the way humans used to be before this age began, before this whole industrial technological mess we're in. But the way humans used to really be in harmony with the planet and the energies and the rest of the solar system as part of the energy grid, that's what we were seeing. And interesting enough, I was talking to someone who I was on Grant Cameron's light language board, I think a month ago, something like that. And one of the people that approached me from that was, I was seeing this tribal thing. And it was really interesting. So perhaps some of the codes that you were unlocking or whatever, when we see these visions that come in through the speech, okay, and we all know that sound creates light. Everything is vibration. So without that first sound, you know, we're not going to see. But, you know, as we come down through the chakras, yeah, you normally our crown chakra lights up. You get that tingling. I feel like I have head lice type of itch, you know. And then you start to see. But when you really break down through and you start to really open that throat chakra up and drop down into the heart, all of a sudden, you know, these visions really start to pour. Because our society has programmed us to live down in the bottom three chakras. That's it. You know, let's not get to our truth. Let's not look at ourselves as all one being. Let's be concerned with what color your skin is. Let's see how rich you are or who you vote for. Any of that nonsense, right? And so as we start to look at things in a much more spiritual way, when we use these tools, I have yet for anyone who has opened their heart to not feel what I'm expressing. I did some time, I did a season up at a spiritual retreat to where I was doing these light language groups where we would basically unlock everybody's light speech because everybody has it. And you have a room of 30, 40 people that have never spoken it before. And there's these simple little steps that we can do that it's been shared with me, I've shared with others, and they can use this very simple to unlock their speech. And I'm keeping track, it's over 350 people have unlocked their speech. Now, once people say, well, why would I want to unlock my light language? Well, okay, let's talk about what light language is. Number one, it's a tool. First and foremost, it's a tool that has so many different uses. Here's a really practical one. You're in a really bad mood, or you got into an argument with somebody, or you're stressed out. You can sit down, calm down, and rather than go into a meditation and take several minutes to try and clear the racing ego mind, I can immediately go into my speech, and I'm in higher thought just like that. So it expedites, you know, the ability to bring yourself into a more of a controlled state, which is really what we want to do, to be in harmony. You can use it to heal somebody. If somebody is really, you know, emotionally, physically, somebody's under some type of trauma, you can use that, because as you're expressing these codes through this ancient sacred languages, the sacred tones of the body. I mean, let's talk about how does it affect the body? Well, we have seven major body chakras, which each have corresponding tones, sounds, and basically groups of frequency or harmonics. So these languages, all of them, are laden with these hidden codes and activation codes, which enable your DNA. Once that DNA gets enabled, though, all that, okay, now I have level five abilities, and you know, let's plug six back in. What happens then? More and more and more and more. And so, like, looking at it in the most practical senses, you can control. I've had somebody who was completely irate and completely out of their mind, that was just violent, and I looked them dead in the eye, spoke dialect. Within 30 seconds, they had completely released all that. Okay, so there's a very practical use. Okay, let's diffuse this bad energy and let's talk about this. What were you saying? What did you feel I was saying? I felt that you said that everything was going to be okay and I didn't need to freak out. Then that's what you needed to hear, right? And like, I'll use it in the gym, very much like a martial artist will use the focus of chi to say break a stone with their hand or something like that. I'll get under, I mean, I even have videos of it on my Facebook page where I'm lifting. I have a tissue disorder, which prevents me from doing certain things, but I have a machine with 720 pounds on there and I'm getting like 10 reps with that. And I'm 55 years old with a beat up body. And what the video doesn't show me speaking light language and pulling the light energy into my body before I do that, you know? And so these are some practical ways of using these light, you know, these light dialects. There's, I mean, as far as when you're getting into the meditation, you're getting into expanding your consciousness, there is no end. It's limitless. And it's just a much simpler, easier way to get into harmony with your true self rather than stuck in the physicality of it. But like, I know people that use it for a multitude of different things. It's really, what is your skill set? Why are you here? What do you do? Okay, what do you do? I know, you know, as I'm talking to you, I know what you do. And I know what, you know, sometimes, because of you being in the public eye, you're under fire somewhat. You take some hits, okay? So what would be a good application for that is when you're really getting hit and, you know, you're getting this psychic attack, this huge emotional psychic attack, you can close that down to where it doesn't affect you at all. You can just completely, and that's what it is. It's a pure law of emotion. It's a purity of creation. And those are the, for me, those are the most practical uses of it. But I also, I mean, I speak it all day long. I don't always speak it out loud. But using my three dialects, my primary dialects, if I feel there's a lot of dark energy around me, I'll use an Arcturian dialect, which is Murishkiato Trenta Ai, Hiru Bibishin and Makakiaro Tora Peche. And that's more of a, hey, you know, kind of leave me alone. I'm in my space. You know, it's more of a warrior type sense. And then if I'm out and I really want to connect to the earth, I'll go back to even an older tongue, which is, and that'll center me in the earth. And I mean, there's a lot more in the way of dialects that come out depending on what energy I'm tapping into. And I mean, everybody has multitudes of these dialects because they've experienced multitudes of lives before. We only, when we look at, you know, we kind of use it as, oh, I've had a past life. Well, time is just a tool for referencing for our incarnations. It all happens now, past, present, future, now. And so you're accessing, you can bring yourself to other versions of yourself. You can, it's really amazing how it can accelerate and magnify the spiritual energy, especially when you really, when you grasp onto it, you completely embrace it. And then you're just speaking from here. Is there a word for word translation? Yeah, but it's doing it very, very little justice. It's kind of like a small phrase or a single sentence can contain an entire library's worth of information. It's that compressed, you know, tightly dense information. And it's an onion, you know, you're peeling off these incredibly tiny little layers, and each one of those layers is mind blowing, you know? So when you said, is it a slow drip? Absolutely. Because if we got hit with all that information right now without the awareness that's necessary, it wouldn't work. You know, you're going to put somebody straight into the loony bin. And, you know, I mean, when I see that, like where I live, there's a couple people down the street and I've been told they're schizophrenic, but I've almost seen the beings these people are talking to. They have an awareness. They're looking into other realities and they just can't shut it off. And that's very difficult for them. They're not crazy. It's not a disease. It's kind of a misplaced or screwed up awareness that for some reason has purpose. I believe that everything has some type of divine purpose, whether or not we like to agree with it or if it's unpleasant or not. I mean, there's a purpose for everything. Like you and I were talking about certain, I'll be very general, kind of like gurus in the UFO community, right? And you have these certain people and they're spouting off this narrative and and okay, it's this way, it's this way, it's this way, and blah, 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 blah. And you've heard the same, you know, regurgitation going on for the past 20 years. And then you say something, you speak up on it because something doesn't ring true, or you suddenly, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And what I'm finding is consciousness is ever expanding. And if we're not consciously going after trying to learn more and understand more on an evolutionary, with an evolutionary process to thaw, as what more? How do I understand this? Okay, now I took this in, now I have to process this and really let that expand out and fully understand with this thing, not this thing, then we're stuck in the mud and we're not really adding to the whole, we're not adding to the collective intelligence or the collective, you know, mentality or knowing. And that's why I think that some of us, you know, you, obviously you and myself, we feel very similar in those that are out there that are not being entirely, you know, honest, that it's all about money. Unfortunately, you know, it's become a job for these people and they're just drawing a paycheck to where very often that, yes, they do have some passion in the beginning, but as the old guard is very, very entrenched and the old guard doesn't evolve with the consciousness as it's expanding now. And I've been subjected to a lot of this old guard type of thing. And I know you have as well. You put some posts up also about it. And I think this is really important during this time. I mean, we are indeed in the great uncovering. We're seeing so many things come out and you know, you have all these narratives being thrown at you and you really have to use your discernment because some of them, you know, there's PSYOP on top of PSYOP on top of PSYOP on top of PSYOP. Then we have all the technologies that are being used against us, like the infrasound being embedded in a lot of these newscasts so that people feel fear. And they very often, the ones that are not aware, they just get scared from it. They don't realize, wait a minute, that's a frequency. That's technology that's making me feel this way. It's affecting my brain waves, you know. And these are the types of things that I think are so important that we talk about, is the old normal wasn't so normal, and it's old, and there's not a lot of truth in it. You know, when I see the division in this country, and you know, Republican, Democrat, or whatever, I sit back and the way I look at this world is, people are choosing sides, but ultimately, the entire game is rotten. It's not whether this person. It's not about choosing sides. It's like I don't want to play the entire theater game at all. When I see the entire thing is corrupt, I walk down the street, I see all these combustion engines poisoning our planet when we have free energy technology that's been suppressed since the late 1800s. The same thing with the telephone poles, right? I live in Texas. There's massive refineries down here. I'm down by Houston. There's refineries that are so big, they don't even measure them in acres anymore. They measure them in miles. Because these things are so big and they're just spewing this filth into the atmosphere and poisoning this planet. And when I see all this type of rhetoric that's supporting that, you know, like the latest one with the SpaceX and you know, a new era of space, is like rockets were completely obsolete in the 50s. You know, there's been anti-gravity craft since then. So it's these technologies that really need to come out, the healing technologies. You know, we got to get away from all this globalization. And I'm kind of torn, because obviously you see the division in this planet, this programmed intentional division. But then there's this flip side of it that I also see too, is I see so many people that are waking up and they're feeling, they're having experiences that they never had. I've had people call me that I wouldn't have thought in a million years that this person would have any spiritual insight at all. They come, hey, John, can I ask you a question? And I said, so that stuff I talked to you about 15 years ago is not so weird anymore. No, I totally get it now. Now it's becoming, on that level, the norm. So I'm really beginning to see that maybe we're not so much a minority, those of us that are actually seeing more of the truth. You know, it's not to say that we can't be fooled also, but we have a little more sensitivity in looking at something in an objective way, rather than, you know, just swallow everything that's spoon-fed through the news, through the media, you know. And when we look at a lot of these folks that are, you know, like the old guard, and, you know, I used to watch every single UFO documentary in the world to see if I could relate to anybody that I was talking to. And you know, you have your usual suspects that always show up on these commercial, and they hit the same exact little rhetoric over and over, and they might slight twist here and there, but you're not getting any more information. Now, in that's your area of expertise, and you've been researching for quite some time on that. And when you start to talk about a different subject that does not fit perfectly into the accepted narrative, what has the response been for you during things like that?
Yeah, I know exactly that the types of old guard people and want to be old guard people. They seem to be old guard people only because they keep showing up on these TV shows and keep showing up at these conferences. They become a fixture. But they really do keep things in an enclosed kind of space where certain subjects, certain themes are taboo, and they quickly, along with their legions of trolls, rise up and try to shut people down. But what I've done is, and I've run into some degree of resistance, but as much as possible, I try to bypass enemy strong points, right? Sometimes it's unavoidable at a conference or something where you're going to be a speaker. This happened in Roswell, New Mexico, and other places. You're just going to be around these people. And I don't believe in fraternization, call it elitist, call it what you will, or anyone call it what they will. But if I have a strong feeling that someone is a disinfo agent or anything, I'm not cordial to them. I don't even associate with them, right? I just keep them at arm's length, and I'm just there to do a job, basically. I'm there to do what I'm meant to do and interact with people who feel moved to interact with me. and then I move on, right? And so, yes, well, what I'm seeing is the tide has turned. I know that there are a lot of people out there that maybe looked askance at us in the past or kind of wondered if we were all there mentally, right? But enough things have happened that we don't sound as crazy anymore. And people are more willing to seek, if not our counsel, at least our insight and our perceptions about certain things. And they also notice, John, I know this is the case with you, the inner light, whether amidst the storm around us, you're a sea of calm. When people that are naturally alarmed by the state of affairs and how it's trending in a certain direction, what they're perceiving, you know, that innate part of that that's telling them that they're not getting the whole story from the mainstream media, when they can see you and realize how calm and how you're taking it all in, I like to use the example of the Shaolin monk just walking along with his staff and his begging bowl, and then he sees some travelers being waylaid by these highwaymen. Shaolin monk goes into action, opens a can of whoop-ass, bows to the travelers, and just walks away, just as content and peaceful and, you know, upright alignment as he was before all the action started, right? When people see that about you and others I know, they see strength there. They see strength of character. They see integrity. And it provides an anchor for them, an anchor point for them to kind of, you know, at times latch onto. And so, you know, I thank you for the work you're doing. And at a point you made earlier, too, that first dialect that you spoke, immediately I started seeing visions of these step pyramids in Latin America and South America. And when you brought up earlier the actually spoke that first dialect, the Palladian dialect, I really felt a resonance with that. Australia is steeped in Palladian lore. My friends Stephen and Evan Strong have been going around the country, right, and we recently did a teleconference where they talk about how at least a faction of Palladians, because of all the stuff coming down, will be coming back, and how they're being told by all the elders of the various Aboriginal nations here the same thing. They're coming back. And I've been to a sacred site here that is Aboriginal / Palladian. In fact, there is a healing table there that where only women are allowed to lay down in, and all males need to be at least 15 feet away from this, right? And the women that I've spoke to that have laid down in this thing, of their consciousness has been projected into a big Palladian starship. Aboriginal elders pop up that they can see with their etheric third eye vision. And one time, me and a friend of mine, an intuitive medium, we were walking around up there in these glyphs, Aboriginal sacred area, looking for this site, because Evan hadn't sent me these photos Gosford. Yet. Later on,
were you at Gosford?
Yes, Gosford. It's near there, Carrieong, but it's quite near Gosford. Is the largest city nearby, and you know, it was getting dark and snakes are abounding in the place. And there's actually a big portal there where Sasquatch, Yowie, has been known to step out. So we probably walked by this thing about three or four times and didn't even notice it. It was only later when Evan sent me photos of what it looked like that we were able to go back and find it. But the point of relevance was, while we were looking for this, my friend, the intuitive, he said, there's a Palladian here, very very tall. He's got this, you know, long gown looking thing, and he's trying to guide us to where the healing table is, right? But again, it was getting too dark, and we just had to leave the place so we can make it back to, you know, through the bush back to our car. And tracking back to what you were doing earlier with the Palladian light language, I was seeing images as you spoke of those South American pyramids, and I was reminded of Bruce Fenton and his wife Daniela. I haven't had Daniela on the show yet, but I'd like to. But Bruce and Daniela, and this tracks back to what you said earlier, the eternal now, as I call it, past, present, future, they all run simultaneously, just different frequency offsets that separate them. Some people can have the etheric third eye vision and the means to transgress and rather ingress and egress out of each of these. And Daniela and Bruce had a past life incarnation in one of those pyramids, actually beneath it, slightly out of phase with the dimension of the Earth at the time. So there was a strong Palladian presence there. And there's another book you can come across. It's called Midwinter's Song, I think it was. And I believe it was Palladians, and a woman was having past life memories of being a Palladian. There was a great war way back when here on this planet, probably numerous ones, which resulted in the desert Southwest becoming the desert Southwest. It wasn't always like that, apparently, until this war came along. And anyway, the point of relevance, John, is that, yeah, I started seeing pyramids and I started getting certain impressions. And then when you did the Arcturian bit there too, what a lot of people don't understand, John, is at least some of the Arcturians, they're ass kickers. It's like they're spiritual warriors. They train other species in combat, basically, of all forms, energy, personal combat. And they're kind of like a higher dimensional version of these Shaolin monks that I was talking about. So when you were talking about how you utilize the Arcturian dialect to kind of banish and keep at bay these unwanted negative presences, I resonated with that entirely.
You know, that was that. While you were speaking, it really reminded me when I was up at the spiritual. I'll just say it. I was at Iseti. I was out in this about an eighth of a mile away from the main compound, and the season was over with. And I was staying in a little cabin type yurt, really nice, and being out there, I mean, there are several portals up there. There is a large universal stargate that I actually caught a glimpse of, or at least in one of its expressions. And one of the really cool things that I learned spending time, I lived there for 8 months, but by these highly energetic portals is, and I don't see many people talking about it, is the portals are self-aware. They are a consciousness to themselves, right? And you can have a conversation with these portals. They're an androgynous intelligence. And very rarely is it a light portal or a dark portal. It's kind of like, you know, it's the airport. Everybody goes through there. You know, it's, you're jumping on a plane, you're coming out here, you know? And a lot of the times there would be some times where there was a lot of dark entities up there and I could feel them all around me, and I would just center in. And instead of, you know, letting myself get freaked out by the fear that was being pumped at me, I would go into this state. I would recite the Arcturian. And it's kind of like a haka. There's a lot of movement in your arms and things that just, and that's, you know, multiplying or compounding the intent, because another harmonic and a level up, you know, intent upon intent upon intent upon intent, you know, type of thing. There were several people up there that were held down by dark entities that felt themselves physically being held down on the bed or pressed on their chest, and I mean, this profoundly scared these people. You know, when they came up and talked to me and they go, well, why doesn't this happen to you? And there was one time where there was a lot of bad stuff that was going on, a lot of dark energy. And I believe that the people that were visiting the ranch were calling that, because energy attracts its likeness, you know, the law of attraction. So as if we're sitting there focusing on nothing but negative energies, yeah, that's going to be called. And when you couple that with a very highly energetic vortex, that's magnified many times over, right? I was there one time when I saw some really bizarre. I saw what looked like spiders, you know, this big around, black spiders going across the ground. Like, did I just see that, you know? And a lot, that was a lot of my life. Did I just see that, you know? Just bizarre. And every, a lot of people have seen orbs, but I was with a friend of mine who was going through a really dark time. And all of a sudden there were these black fuzzy orbs all, and this whole energy of fear came in. And it was just like, all right, this is not mine, but they're not attacking me or attaching me. But it was like we were in this small little ball, for lack of a better term, you know, probably 3 feet around us, that was these swarming little black fuzzy orbs about maybe about that big. And I just went right into that Arcturian speech. And we, you know, we, at first we tried this clearing that was spoken in English, had no effect at all. As soon as I went into that light speech, I released, I mean, you know what it's like, James, when you feel energy coming at you, you can feel really good energy and it lights your body up. You feel that really dark energy that's coming through you. It's just as strong and every hair on your body stands up, but you're getting that nausea with it and that really sickness. And it's like, this is dark. This is bad. I don't want this. I'm not accepting this. And I went into these different, you know, these different type of hakas, but cleared it every single time. And somebody who's going through their, like, back to practicality for a minute, somebody who's going through a tough time in their life, whether they know it or not, they have all that built up emotional energy that may have a lot of negative contacts with it. They're calling all that crap towards them. So if they unlock their light speech, they can change that just like that. It can happen in an instant, you know? And that's what I'm finding is so important to do is for, and I can help you, you know, we can do another time where it's just the two of us and I can help you unlock yours. You know, if that's something that you'd like to do, I'd be more than happy to do it for you. These things, this is part of my job is to hand you these letters. I'm like, in a universal letter carrier, and I'm handing you a letter, a metaphysical letter that you wrote to yourself. But whether you open it and read it and interpret it, that's all up to you. But nonetheless, I'm going to hand this to you. You know, if you ask me to do this, I understand. It took me a long time to understand that this is one of my main jobs here. The other one is very much, and you said it too, anchoring of energy. Now that I understand energy, and I do a tremendous amount of inner work. I work on myself all the time. You know, I don't think any of us are okay. We reach to a certain point, that's it. I'm enlightened, good enough. You know, it's not like that. You know, it's that you're evolving with the planet, and even though we may have higher awareness of our own, we're also get hit with all this collective energy and this collective thought patterns. So, you know, when we talk about, okay, I was speaking Pleiadian and you were seeing these step pyramids, right? Well, what were you really looking into? You were actually looking into the energies that were compressed in that dialect that I was sharing. And that was the way you happened to open that file at that time, because those images have a specific purpose or trigger for your awareness at a later date or now even, you know. But now that that's been transferred over to you, that onion's going to peel off as we go. And I think that's the most important thing that people do right now is to, okay, the old way didn't work. Let's clear out all the baggage. Number one, we need to forgive ourselves for the stupid stuff we did when we were young and not so young. You know, we got to let all that go. We need to forgive ourselves and really appreciate ourselves. Love starts here. If we can't love ourselves, you can't appreciate yourself. You really can't, in any truth, appreciate or love someone else. Once you do really release that self trauma that we all carry, guilt and all those other frequencies that are there for a purpose, when we can really get a good grasp onto that, actually, what was that for? What are we learning? That type of thing, you know, we can actually start sharing that with others. And then what happens is it just starts to grow. It's a snowball. It's a collective. You know, if I start to talk to somebody that I didn't think was at all in a spiritual or open spiritually at all, and they suddenly start to open up, I'll start sharing more. Next thing I know, they're calling their friends over. Can we join this conversation? And then the collective energy of all four of us or all five of us, that's building, and that's, you know, adding onto that giant snowball, which is the collective consciousness of the earth. And we both know that there are many realms. It's not just this one. There are many parallel earths and realities associated with this particular cluster of souls and planetary consciousness and so forth. But as we become more and more aware of that and the simplicity of it, and the simplicity is this: we are immortal. We are here in a temporary capacity to perform certain tasks that we have dedicated ourselves to do in the interest of evolving the soul, bringing all those experiences back. And, you know, I've been asked, why is it that we can't remember who we are totally? I'm like, well, put it this way. If you know how the movie ends, how are you going to have that profound, intimate knowledge of those experiences that when you live something and you had that experience through every tiny little detail of those experiences, that's something you could never learn in a book, reading a book or have somebody tell you. It's like that energy, you've learned that. That's in your soul. That is added to the collective knowledge, and the entire thing comes up. You know, so it's as we're... I lost you. I think you're muted.
I'm still muted.
There you go.
Yeah, hold that thought. A lot of great points. We've reached the end of the first segment. Could you give our viewers and listeners your contact information, your Facebook, and your YouTube channel?
Sure. My Facebook is John Bertoli, and you'll see I'm a personal trainer, fitness trainer, and light language activator. And then my YouTube channel is We Speak Unity Light, and that's We Speak Unity Light. I have some guided meditations on there, light language. I also have shared some of my paranormal experiences and there's some short little documentary videos I made. And then just coming up in the very near future, I'm going to be hosting light language panels, very similar to the show that I did with Grant. And it's all about unlocking, helping people unlock their speech, all online. And then how people can use it. And there's a lot of interest in that topic. So that's what's next on the agenda.
And we'll provide all of John's information and links on our website and our dedicated YouTube channel to our dear listeners out there. We're just getting started, so stay tuned. You've been watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. If you like what we do, if you believe what we do, please go to this cosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.